During this season of Easter, we take our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, that beautiful book that tells us of the great excitement in the early church. The days after Jesus ascends to heaven and the Holy Spirit comes, and we see the church growing and expanding and the faith going everywhere. We might say that, wow, it seems pretty successful what God is doing. On the other hand, like in our first reading today, we get kind of a mixed message. It says that some people are really excited to hear the gospel, but others reject it, drive them from their cities. What is it? Is the early church successful or is it not? Successful in that the Gentiles appear to accept the gospel from Paul? Or is it a failure because the Jews won't accept the gospel and turn away? Is it a failure because Stephen is martyred, the apostles are being killed? Or is it a success because, well, the gospel is spreading to other places? I think we have to be very careful when we start to judge whether or not something in the matter of the faith is successful or not. I think Mother Teresa gets it just right. She says, God has not called us to be successful, but faithful. Not successful, but faithful. Because we can see that although it might look like a failure on the world's terms that Stephen or the other apostles would be killed or put in prison or tortured, the apostles don't think it's a failure. They rejoice, it says, because they've been found worthy to be insulted and persecuted for the sake of the name. A great success, because they're faithful. You see, if we try to be successful, we always wind up in trouble, because success is often judged on the world's terms. Am I getting ahead? Do people like me? Am I popular? Am I making more money or advancing? Those are all worldly ideas of success. And they tend to get us in big trouble with God because a lot of times we will be unfaithful to God precisely to try to be successful on the world's terms. Successful, no, but faithful. That's what we'll be judged on in the end of our life. I think, too, that this points us towards the reason that we can have great joy, even if maybe in a worldly terms we're not very successful. If you think about it, the apostles rejoice. St. Paul rejoices to say, I was shipwrecked, stoned, beaten with rods, but praise God. Why? Why can they do that? Well, I think the beautiful mystery of Easter, the resurrection, is really the key to all this. It leads to a secret that we call the Christian virtue of hope. Hope is the virtue that causes us to desire heaven, that keeps us pointed in the right direction. The reason why we don't have to be successful in the world's terms is because we know this world is passing away. This world is just a flash in the pan compared to the eternal life with God in heaven. That's why our second reading today, St. John shows us the beautiful image of heaven. People are dressed in white robes. They're singing and praising God. Every tear is wiped away. We can have great hope because we know that's where we're going. No matter what happens to us in the world, Easter is the season when we proclaim victory. St. Paul can boldly exclaim, death, where is your sting? Hell, where is your victory? Even in the face of great persecution and suffering, we see in the Acts of the Apostles a church that is joyfully triumphant. You know, I love to watch sports, and I'm pretty busy at the parish, so I don't often get to watch the game live when I might want to. A lot of times I'll have to tape it, and so then I can maybe watch it later. When you do that, you always run into the chance, though, of, you know, someone's going to tell you what happened. You know, I'll have taped the KU game, for instance, and, you know, I'll be waiting and waiting to watch it that evening when I get some time, and without fail, it seems like someone will come up to me during the day and say, hey, Father, how about those Hawks? They really got them, huh? Like, I was going to watch that tonight. I'm like, all right. Well, I guess I'll watch it anyway. I taped it. And it's interesting because sometimes I'll find myself, you know, I get really excited. And, you know, every now and then I'll be watching the game and, like, the poor Jayhawks will be behind, like, 20 points or something in a basketball game. And I'm like, this is awful. Oh, I think I'll just turn it off. I can't even bear to watch it. And like, oh, wait a minute. I taped it. I already know they won. I can keep watching. This is going to be the greatest comeback in KU history. Wow. And then I'm excited to kind of see how they're going to do this. How they're going to pull out this. And I have confidence because I know we already won. It's taped. I wonder what would happen if we lived our lives that way. Knowing that in the end we win. That if we will stay on God's path, we win. There is no doubt Christ has won the victory. Death has no more power. If we can live life that way, then no matter how grim or dark it gets, how much our life seems to be a failure, maybe on worldly terms, well, we can look and say, no, wait a minute. I know who wins this in the end. And then life is exciting, because then we can take our darkest moments and not despair and want to turn off the game, but rather can say, I wonder what God is going to do. I know in the end I win, so how will God do this? How is he going to turn this around? That is the virtue of Christian hope. Hope allows us to see everything in a new light because of the resurrection. We know we win in the end. There's been obviously a lot going on this past week, much to cause us great concern. Attacks on our country in Boston, natural disasters, explosions in Texas. All these things might cause us to lose our joy a little bit. They seem like such failures. We might even question, why would God allow this? It is true that God does permit these evils. But here's the thing. God would never permit even the slightest evil to exist in our world if he could not bring about an infinitely greater good. It's all about our perspective. Yes, there is evil, and it's real evil, and there is much to be sad and frustrated about this week. But can we see it with Christian hope, with eyes that say God is always greater? That beautiful line in our gospel today that speaks of the good shepherd. He doesn't lose any of his sheep. It says, the Father is greater than all. Greater than all evil. Greater than every bad thing, every failure in our lives, in the world. God is greater. He will always bring about a greater good. And that allows us to go through this life with great hope. We don't have to despair. In fact, we can begin to see God's good working right away. As somebody was pointing out to me on all the coverage with Boston and everything, they said, you know what though? Look instead at the people that are helping. Look at the people who are helping. You think of the police, the firemen, the National Guard, all of our military people that assisted, all the doctors, the paramedics, just average people who immediately rushed in and said, how can I help? Right away, there we see it. God is already undoing the evil, even in the midst of the evil. Brothers and sisters, that's how we're called to live our lives. Not focused on the darkness, not staring into suffering and pain and asking, woe is me, but rather with hope, great Christian hope. Hope that causes us to exclaim with St. Paul, death, you have no victory. Hell, where is your sting? We know who wins. The question for us then is not how successful will we be, but how faithful will we be? Faithful especially to the virtue of hope. The virtue of faith, the virtue of hope go together. Let us remain faithful in this life to the great hope that lies before us. For indeed we live this life knowing the outcome. We are victorious.